再吃药。
Así, todos los que salimos a pedir comida y ropa al mismo tiempo, avisarle a la gente de las ciudades, oh, perdón, estaba hablando español ya. After we did all that, we not only went out and talked to people, and we give us some clothes and food, and we brought them back into the Llanos for the rest of the strikers to keep having something to eat and be able to support them, you know. That was the beginning. The movement trying to reach the outside world, the outside people, to know or to let them know what it was wrong for the agriculture workers. You know? After this is when the idea at the march to Sacramento. That's when the idea that we'd recognize that Sacramento, it was the state, it was the capital of the state of California. And that's where the laws need to be made. And that's where justice is supposed to be dictated into the rest of the states. So we start marching towards Llano. As we start marching towards Llano, every town that we got into, people come out and receive us. And people invite us to churches, invite us to the parks, and have a mass, a praying mass, for that town. And from there on, next day, we will go to the next town. And we did the same thing. And it was most people come aware. Many of the farm workers that work in another crops begin to see and hear the publicity that the farm workers are getting. They begin to feel more motivated to use that to be able to raise the prices, even so that it was not a minimum wage form yet, you know. When we was gone halfway in the march, it was a company named Chenley. That's the first contract that the farm workers had. The first victory of the farm workers when they signed the contract was Chenley. Day on, we begin with the campaign against the Giorgio. It was another big company in the Llano, you know. So we keep going and we keep marching and we keep talking to people throughout the country. Many people begin to come in, enjoy the farm workers towards the capital of the state, Sacramento. The day that we got into Sacramento, with a lot of the supporters and the farm workers and the family of the farm workers and a flyer of the standard of the Lady Guadalupe was us. We got into Sacramento. It was approximately about 10,000 people join us to get into Sacramento to ask for justice. After that, many people talked to Chavez, many people talked to the rest of the farm workers, And it give us the name, and it give us the phone numbers, and it give us the addresses. As if someday we got into the town, they're calling them, and he will turn around and help us. That was the beginning, the inspiration to go on into the boycott and to educate and to talk to the rest of the world about the boycott. And to ask the individual people like yourselves to support us. And the sacrifice you would have had to make is not to eat grapes, then such a time the contracts would get signed. I know that it was something too special we asked out of you, but it's something that you doing that sacrifice but not eating the grapes, it brought justice to the farm workers. It brought a recognition what the dollar or two you was going to spend in grapes, you were able to give justice, and also you was able to tell the politicians that they had to listen to the cry of the farm workers. And I think many people did that. And I remember we took a bus, one of those school buses, from the land of California to New York City. It was cold. It was cold because there was no heat in that bus. All we had was blankets and our bodies to warm up ourselves, you know. But when we got into many of the cities, receivers in Chicago, the receivers in New York, and we went to a union, they called themselves Seedfares Union. I think I remember it is in Brookline, someplace there, you know. The union gave us a hospitality in their house and the headquarters that they have. And they had many rooms for us to sleep there. And they provide meals for us. Then many of those took us into many parts of the city, into many unions to talk about the farm workers. They provided us with a car because we didn't have any. And they provided us with a driver because we didn't know the city. But he took us all over the place. And that's how the beginning of the farm workers began to hear in New York. We went to a place, they call it, High Points. It's where all the grapes come. So we were demonstrating there, the police come in and remove us from there. And at that time, I had my wife with me and my son. And the police arrested my son, which was maybe about 5 or 6 years old. You know, I don't remember exactly how many years it was, you know. He arrested my kid, and he kept my kid. And then the Seedfare Union called on to the other unions and asked to come to the courthouse and demonstrate and demanding that the police release my kid and release the rest of the farm workers out of jail. So it was a lot of bosses and a lot of people from different unions that they come in and help us. So that was the good starting point in New York for farm workers. Many of the taxi drivers, Puerto Rican descent, help us. he introduces to Lara the organizations in Spanish Harlem, and in Manhattan. And so many of those people come in and help us to do the boycott in the areas also too. They went to the stores and demand that the stores remove the grapes from the shelves. So after that, we was called back to the headquarters, and then they decided that they was going to send us to different places. Eliseo Medina was sent to Chicago. Me, Marcos Muñoz, they were sent to Boston. Places that we didn't know, places that we'd never been, places we didn't know anybody. But they gave us, you know, 2 or 3 names, and when we got down there, we were supposed to locate these people and ask us to help us. And I went to Boston, and I spoke to the FBLCIO headquarters, to the representative. His name, it was Frank Murphy. And they were supposed to help us. And then they sent me to an office in Tremont Street as a packing house worker. And it was, they provided an office there, and he provided this place to stay there in that office, you know. Then we got familiar with the boycott. After we got familiar with people to do the boycott, help us to do the boycott. At those times, it was a lot of demonstrations in a place that they call in, I can't remember. Boston Common. The Boston Common is a park, and it was many people demonstrate against the war. Many people use the struggle of the farm workers and said to the American people, if we want to help justice, then you could be helping farm workers here in America. They don't have to be in Vietnam throwing bombs. And people began to heard the echo, and many people began to come involved with the farm workers. And out of that, they invited us to different places, and I happened to be in one place, which you call in Harvard University. When I was down there, I was very, very nervous. Very nervous because I didn't speak English that good. And to go and to talk at where a college where a lot of people were all educated, I couldn't understand myself how to do it. But I was encouraged by other people and I went. And I remember specific that half of the way I ran out of English. So I started going into Spanish. And people began to help me find the words in English. And people began to be committed. People began to connect me with other churches, other organizations, a group of nuns, you know, began to help us, seminaries. The boycott began to be affected in Boston. The Cardinal Cushion, he helped us to pay the phone for us and to find a place for us where we could live, you know. So many, many, many people come involved with the farm workers. One of the stores that they give in, and they give us the grapes. He wanted me to take all the grapes and to get out of there, not to pick at the store no more. So we did that. We took the grapes, And we make a march, and we took it down to, from the Boston Common through the Freedom Trail, and to a place where you had many years ago the troll, and they have the tea party. I didn't know anything about those things because I couldn't read, and I didn't know history that much. But we did that, and Cesar Chavez told us that we, the farm workers, know better about what hungry art is, but what hungry represents, and we could not be justified to throw the grapes in the harbor. We throw few grapes in the harbor, then the people made a collection and gave us money to send the grapes back to California. We sent it to Sacramento, which Ronald Reagan was the governor of the state of California, to give that, give those grapes back to the growers who still belong to. Kevin White, it was the mayor of the Boston City. He sent a telegram to Ronald Reagan saying to keep the non-union grapes away from Boston, because if you say non-union grapes, they were going to be thrown in the harbor, so there's no room for non-union grapes in Boston. So that created a lot of publicity. Ronald Reagan was real mad, and he answered to Kevin White to mind his own business. And he was really, really mad because all the grapes was bad, and the smelling the grapes pretty bad already. So this is how the boycott got support in Boston. Many of the chain stores, such as Stop and Shop, First National, and many stores, they give up selling grapes, you know. They give us the right to come in and inspect the grapes. And the only grapes that was going to be in that store, it would be union grapes. So that, it was very significant. That was very significant because the boycott began to have a tremendous amount of effect, because a lot of the grapes cannot be sold. A lot of the grapes didn't worth anything. And so the glow fall, the boycott, very, very, very strong. At that time, some of the growers was going to many cities and debate and push their part, you know, why it was no strike. Why it was no strike. And the people choose don't support the boycott, you know. I personally had a debate. But so one glory called K.K. Larson from Coachella. During the debate that we talk about the injustice of the farm workers, and they talk about how great it was like to the farm workers, you know. So we debate back and forth, and finally it was a question that there was no, the farm workers didn't want no union. And I said to him, if you think that the farm workers don't want no union, then why don't you have an elections? And he agreed to. Finally, he recognized and he agreed to having elections, which later on, we did have an elections in California, and we went some contracts in Coachella, California, you know. So that means that the people throughout the country, they began to not eating the grapes, and the growers, they cannot sell these grapes, and they was losing a lot of money, you know. That's what the boycott did. That's what the boycott, it was very affected with the United Farm Workers, you know. But most important, I would like to recognize and to give thank you to many people that they sacrificed not to eat the grapes, to many people that not only not eating the grapes, but I think and I know that the fact that not eating the grapes brought a lot of hopes to a lot of farm workers throughout agriculture. You know. Personally, to Marcos Muñoz, and he gave me something that the union created in me, that I was somebody, and that I had something to say, and that I had rights equal to everybody. It don't matter if you read or write or not. What it really matter, you was a human being. And one human being to another human being, they were responding. And you responded, my dad eating the grapes, and their protests to farm workers. And even today, I made this testimony, telling you the best way that I could. But what the union means to me, personally, made me be good for something. Make me feel that I have something to contribute. I think to many farm workers brought hopes. Now people throughout the country cannot ignore farm workers. The struggle is still continuing through other states, through other parts of the agriculture. But that was the beginning of what the union did for the farm workers. That Cesar Chavez, it was the greatest leader that I knew. That was the greatest man that he contributed so much, and he contributed his life to the farm workers. Him and many other people, many union officials, people, juniors, the lady Dolores Huerta, that man Roberto Padilla, it was a vice president. Julio Hernandez, it was the second vice president. You know, this is the people that contribute a great deal. A gentleman named Antonio Randine. This is the people that began, that I know, that was emboldened the farm workers union. So throughout the country, many unions, many people, many churches, many organizations, many individuals, many students. I can never finish tell you and be loud enough to give you thank you. Thank you very much for participating with us. So this is part of my testimony. I could give you, and as I say to you in the beginning, where I come from and how I got involved with the farm workers because of the struggle when I come to this country. I don't regret it, it's a great country, you know. As many people here for other people once they know, once they communicate. So I think many people done many things for us. Today, I'm old. I live in Chicago now. I stay here because there was a lot of more jobs. I have a daughter. His name is Maria. I have a wife. His name is Andrea from Boston, Massachusetts. He was one of the supporters that helped us. And that lady, he helped me so much. And wrote for me a lot of leaflets, a lot of testimonies that I wanted to say. And finally, I fell in love with that lady, and we've been married 43 years up to date. And we live in Chicago. And you sacrificed my daughter and my grandson. They will give you, thank you very much, because you give them the opportunity for them to have a good education, being able to go to college, being able to contribute in society, and only because of you sacrificing other graves. So I would like to thank you from the bottom of my heart, in the name of the farm workers, in the name of Marcos Munoz, give you a thank you for all the sacrifice that you people did. So please, thank you very much. Gracias. Adios.